as the official catch up to me, Ben, and I'm joined as ever by Chris. I never really know how you start these episodes. I always do the same every week, but nonetheless, we're here, we're back, and we're going to talk about what's happened in football this week. We'll have a lot of Scottish Cup games to talk about, eh, Chris?
Yeah, and I know you're probably going to make a comment on the hacks you already have just before the show started.
No other reason than
I need a haircut. I'll get one soon. So I usually do grow my hair in the winter, but yeah, I'm going to get a haircut soon. The beard plus the hat. I mean, people will be thinking Mozzo's came back to the podcast. I think, but Scottish Cup. Looking forward to a few decent results to go over, Ben.
Some sad ones as well. Talk about, I'm sure we'll cover in great detail. But yeah, obviously we had the second round of the Scottish Cup that brought in some teams from League Two, teams from the Lowland League, Highland League, and Tier Six and below had been in from the first round or from the preliminary round for some of the teams. So we'll start off on Friday night. We had Cumnock Juniors were facing Dumbarton. Yeah, that was a live game on BBC Scotland at Townhead Park, Cumnock, and Dumbarton ended up the victors 3-1. Chris, did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched it. I was quite impressed. I mean, I rate Dumbarton. I think they're going to be probably up there in League Two. Cumnock, quite impressive. The penalty, I don't know if it was a penalty. It was very soft. Fair enough, he was leading with his arm, but I didn't really see much in it. If it was, the referee seemed to be quite convinced it was either, I'm guessing, a foul or a handball or whatever. It was very, very soft for me. But fair play to Cumnock coming into the second half. I think they came into it really well. But I just think they ran out of steam. They seemed really confident. But I tell you what, Dumbarton have some really good players. And obviously, we've talked about Finlay Gray, who was in my... He was playing for Broomhill last season. He was in my team of the season, and he's got his step up to the SPFL, and thoroughly deserved. I thought he was brilliant on the day. But yeah, Dumbarton are a top League Two side. It was always going to be hard for Cumnock. I know a lot of people in the West thought they were going to pull off an upset, and I think on a different day, it might have been possible. I think the conditions probably didn't help the football. It was quite scrappy at times as well, but obviously the heavy rain and the ball sliding and... I think Jamie Barclay, we all know he's a top keeper, and I think he was having issues sometimes with trying to sort of keep possession of the ball. So, it was difficult, obviously, with the heavy rain, but, you know, fair play to Cumnock, the fans that turned up, and Dumbarton as well. I think the Dumbarton fans, I heard them as well, which is good to see, because sometimes, even in League Two, you go up to the SPFL and the fans aren't the noisiest, but they certainly made an atmosphere, and it did seem like a proper cup game on a Friday night. Really enjoyed watching it, but yeah, I think conditions probably didn't help either side.
Yeah, I think from Cumnock's perspective, to lose the penalty or to give away the penalty, see, we can debate whether or not it was a penalty or not, but it's the kind of situation where you can't give a team like the Barn like an easy chance to get a goal. They matched Dumbarton across the 90 minutes for me, and you saw the individual players that Cumnock had. We've talked about Jordan Moore plenty of times. He looked a real handful for the Dumbarton defence, and on our day the boys scored probably two or three goals. They do well to get the goal back through Ryan Carnworth, good player. Probably a player, as I said, wouldn't actually been a starter for Cumnock, to be honest, but he's been in, he's played a few games this season. He's doing well, having come from Irvine Meadow. But I think Dumbarton, obviously, come down from League One last season. They're a great side. We played them in a closed-doors friendly a few weeks back, just in preparation for our game against Forfar, and their game, obviously, against Cumnock. And yeah, even in a kind of closed-doors, kind of bounce game, you could see the class, the individual players they had. We don't need to talk about Finlay Gray, you've already mentioned him. He's phenomenal. He's deserving of his contract. He's got like a new deal at Dumbarton just recently as well, and the guys that they had. What I would say, go back to the game though, I think when it comes to the penalty, I think Cumnock probably feel quite hard done by not to get a penalty themselves.
Yeah.
I think the one from Carswell, he was chasing down Jordan Moore, and he's got his hands all over him from outside the box. So for me, it's at worst it's a free kick. Sorry, at least it's a free kick, and at worst it's a penalty, keeping it finished up in the box. But the rest gave nothing in that situation. He's really unfortunate not to get that, because that could have been the kind of leveler in terms of the match, and it could have been a totally different story. But coming up on TV, give themselves a good account of themselves, and they'll do well this year. We've talked about them plenty in this podcast already this year, so we know exactly what we'll see from Cumnock, and they'll stand them in good stead for the season ahead.
Yeah, and it was good to see some players I was less familiar with. Obviously, there is guys obviously like Finlay Gray that we know about. You know, the Dumbarton keeper is well known as well, but Calvin Orsi, I gave him man of the match. He's, I think he got the man of the match for the BBC
as
well.
He was
outstanding. He was quality, really good technically, back heels and all this sort of stuff. And I thought he was outstanding on the day. Plus, you know, their captain that got the goal as well. So I really do rate Dumbarton as a top League Two side. So Cumnock are, you know, to match them for, in fact, even for large periods in that second half, I thought Cumnock were the better team. So it gives us a wee bit of faith in this level that we know so much in terms of the cup this week as well. But I really, really happy to see Cumnock on a Friday night, and then obviously we'll get into it obviously about Pollock on the Monday. I mean, that's exactly what you want from the Scottish Cup. You want to see the non-league being rightfully promoted, in my opinion, on these sort of national levels. So hopefully it can bring in more fans at this level, because it is a good product, in my opinion.
The next game, then we'll go into Saturday games, and there's a whole raft of matches involving Lowland League, West and East and South teams, as well as obviously Highland and maybe even some North Cali teams involved in there. But we'll start then with Boney United versus Auckland Lake Talbot. It was 1-1 inside 90 minutes and extra time, and Auckland Lake won that game on penalties. I think for me, it's probably systemic of where Auckland Lake Talbot are just now. I'd expect them to have beaten Boney United in 90 minutes personally, but I think we know there's, we've talked about it again, I'm going to keep saying this, but we've talked about it before. We know there's something not quite right, Auckland Lake Talbot, and to just get by, absolutely great. It's from a West perspective, obviously I'm going to be a massive advocate of that, in terms of West teams getting through and beating low league opposition, because we always talk about the pyramid and want to make sure that that low league teams are getting beaten off of West teams or East teams at this point in time. So yeah, good for Auckland Lake, but I think they're very fortunate to get through in penalties.
Yeah, I heard all the penalties were great, by the way. You probably would have needed two keepers to save them. Obviously, the Bowness keeper, we talked about previously, and he's a big guy, so penalties had to be good to beat him between the sticks. So, yeah, I think you're right. I would have expected Auckland Lake to beat Bowness on a, you know, in previous years or whatever it would have been, or however you want to say it. But Bowness, I think they fell away a wee bit from a great start as well. But it's one of those ones where two teams that are kind of mid-table at the moment, anything could have happened. On a different day, I would have assumed, if it goes to a lottery of penalties, Bowness could have got through on a different day as well. But yeah, both teams kind of sort of languishing to that sort of mid to upper tier in both leagues. So yeah, there's probably not much to cover there that we haven't already discussed previously, Ben.
Yeah, next game then, Bucky Thistle 1, Bingo Broomhill 3. Another good result for Broomhill. I thought they would win this quite comfortably, and they have done. I think Bucky were probably unfortunate to lose a man middle of the game, getting sent off. And yeah, but Broomhill are a good side. And again, it's probably one we don't need to dwell on too much, because we know how good they are, and they're in the heart for the next round.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy going up north and playing these sort of decent Highland League teams in the Scottish Cup. We've expected teams to go up to the Highland and get the win before, and it's not really happened. So fair play to Broomhill. I think they ended the game with 10 men as well. But yeah, Broomhill are on a really hot streak at the moment, aren't they? They're the team in form in the Lowland League, and that's another fantastic result, especially knowing how hard it is to on these long journeys up north. I noticed Mozza never went, the wee part-timer these days getting it. I think how many weeks has that been since he's not been at Broomhill?
So. He'll be talking about it again on that podcast. Where's Mozza? Putting out wanted posters. Find Mozza. But absolutely about Broomhill. You're completely right. I think they're motoring and on form, and you're starting to see now. I think we talked about this, I keep coming back to things we've spoken about previously, but we kind of wondered if the cameras and the extra kind of spotlight that the podcasters bring was going to affect them in terms of the football. And you probably looked at it at the beginning and probably thought it was, but it's clear now that they've got a great side, they've recruited well, and more than a match for any team, and you'd fancy them probably again. The draws could be anything in the next round, but certainly you'd fancy Broomhill in most games, I think, at the moment, the way they're playing.
Mozza apparently wants Socky because it's near him, but I wouldn't take Socky at the moment. You know that pain, Ben, don't you?
good cup side. Talking about Socky, then we'll just move straight on to that game. Socky 3, Bonnyrigg Rose 2. Bonnyrigg Rose, obviously, a newly promoted League 2 side. We know all about them from the seasons in the Lowland League. But Socky, as I just said, they're a great cup team and they get off for the occasion, and they've done well to get past Bonnyrigg Rose.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's 2 years in a row they've made it to the third round of the Scottish Cup. They seem to love the cup. Fraser Duncan, fantastic manager. I don't know what it is about the cup, but Socky just seemed to love it. Yeah, getting these results, not really totally unexpected, because we have talked them up. Obviously, I've had my say on guys like Ross Kavanagh, who's obviously played in the West and the Lone League. I rate him as a striker, and he was a handful yesterday. I don't think he got any of the goals, but he's a nuisance, a wee bit like Jordan Moore at Cumnock, I would say, kind of similar mould. But yeah, Socky, fantastic result. I think there's a wee bit of a backlash from Bonnyrigg fans. I saw that Darren Smith, the first team coach of Bonnyrigg, was basically, you know, saying to chill out. You know, I think that was, they've not had the result in about seven games. And it's difficult, because when you're a team like Bonnyrigg that are used to success, and then you go up a league and it's not really going your way, it can be very difficult. But look, I was kind of vilified for calling out early. I didn't think Bonnyrigg would have done a Kelty, because Kelty, you know, it was a completely different situation. They had the finances. Bonnyrigg, you know, they've got the players there, similar to Kelty, but it's a tough one. I've said many times, again, probably been vilified for it, but Bonnyrigg certainly have a style, and I think it's harder to play a similar style, four or five times a season against the same teams than it is maybe once or twice. You can get kind of found out, but no, look, full faith in Robbie Horn to turn it around. He's got the players there. I think it's just a really bad spell, and it doesn't help that football fans are fickle. They'll only remember the good times when they're happening, and then, you know, a bit of trouble or a bit of bother form-wise, and then it's like, Robbie out and all this sort of nonsense. But Robbie's a guy to turn that around. The players that he's got, in terms of the result, it's obviously disappointing, but I think Robbie said it. In his interview, he basically said, that's what Bonnyrigg done a few seasons ago when they were at that level. They would stick it to the SPFL team. So, look, it's a difficult one with Bonnyrigg, because I really do hope them well, but I think it's just a bad run of form at the moment. I don't think it's anything too more concerning than that. And as I say, I've got faith that Robbie will turn that round, as well as the boys at the Rose.
Yeah, I think from Bonnyrigg's perspective, obviously that they've made that step up, and a large number of that squad was around last year, and they're making the step up as a squad, and maybe not have been able to bring in the players to maybe suit their level and maybe of their ability, and they don't have the guys that obviously are standouts in the Lowland League, but when they come into play in League Two, for example, they become a kind of middle of the road side, and maybe not as used to that kind of dominating matches. And a lot of times, a lot of situations that are kind of up against it more than they're used to. And certainly, when we coming back to Sauchie, I mean, brilliant cup side. They've obviously stepped up. It got the result, and they're always there in the cup games, and I think that's the things that massively impressed me about what Sauchie do. You don't need to tell me about Sauchie. I've been there, done that, got a t-shirt, still wear the scars from that game, to be quite honest. But yeah, I'm delighted for them as an East of Scotland team to get through to the third round, and hopefully they get the rewards. I think that's the thing I like to see. But kind of had this conversation yesterday with a few of our guys and before the match, and kind of what would happen if we managed to beat Forfar. Spoiler alert, we didn't. In the next round, do you want a bigger tie, like a League One, a Championship side, or a League One side, or do you want a kind of a nice cushy draw that you feel you can maybe get through and it's a winnable tie for you? I'm not too sure, but from Sauchie's perspective, I hope they get a decent draw and they can get on and keep going. I'd love to see Sauchie go as far as possible. The kind of club that I like, and I know a couple of guys like Matty up there who works up at Sauchie, and I like to keep an eye out for what they're doing, because we have got a bit of a connection from previous games and stuff. So great for them, absolutely delighted for them, and hopefully they'll kick on again. Next up, the Inclusive Palmier 1 for Martin United 2. This was a Highland League versus Midland League, I think, match. Don't know an awful lot about the teams. Obviously, we are a Lowland League in West of Scotland, East of Scotland podcast, so don't expect to know an awful lot about some of these teams. But for Martin getting through, they'll be delighted to get through in 90 minutes, and they'll be in the hat. Another team that will be looking forward to the draw and hopefully get a decent tie.
Yeah, and Carnoustie are actually a really decent team as well in respect. And that Midland League is actually brimming with really good sides. Obviously, you've got your likes of your old junior Tayport sides and sides like that. So it is a fair bit of decent quality in there. So it's not always shocking to see a close game between the Highlands and the Midland League sides when they face in, the for example, the Scottish Cup.
Next game then, it'll be East Star 1, Darvel 7. Another fantastic result for Darvel. Obviously, it's seen as a scalp, if you like, because it's a Tier 6 team versus a Tier 5 team. But we know all about Darvel. We know they're a better side than Dalbeattie. Dalbeattie obviously going through a bit of a kind of strange spell just now, changing managers and what have you. But on the game side of things, another hat-trick for Alan McKenzie. The man's a joke at the moment, isn't he? He's just scoring goals for fun. I know it's Willie Robertson back in the side. I think he's been out of injury for a few weeks/months. Goals for Chris McGowan, Darrell Meggett and Lewis Morrison. But, I mean, it's a result, I'll be honest, I probably expected. I know when we were talking about the draw and things before, Dalbeattie were a side I would have really liked to have taken myself. And I think they would have been, I mean, it would have been a winnable tie for any kind of West team, and Darvel have absolutely done exactly what Darvel do, is go and batter teams at the moment.
Yeah, you just look at the goal scorers and you just see the names of the on the team sheet. Darvel are just, I'm kind of almost, I think I mentioned
sick
it before,
talking about them.
We're sick talking about them, and with all due respect to Alan McKenzie, probably he's came up a fair bit, and he's just on fire at the moment, isn't he? You can't stop the quality of that Darvel most times. I know there's been a couple of occasions where they've maybe dropped points against Glenafton, and we've talked about it, but 9 times out of 10 that Darvel team is going to smash most squads. No surprise against Dalbeattie that are still finding their way under a new manager, obviously. It's still early days there. But yeah, the last team you want to see come up against you if you're even a couple of divisions above is a Darvel team that are that good. I mean, I think there's probably a few League 2 and League 1 teams that probably don't want to even play Darvel in the Cup. They're that good. But yeah, fair play to Alan McKenzie. He's bang on form at the moment. Can he stop the boy from scoring? But yeah, it's good to see, obviously, Lewis Morrison getting in amongst the goals also.
I think the thing about Al McKenzie is he wasn't probably a recognised starter for Darrell at the start of the season. He came in, I think, when Lewis Morrison got suspended in the first game of the season. He came in, he banged a hat-trick against us. And he's unplayable at the moment. He's just one of these guys. He just knows where the goal is. And he's probably faced a bit of adversity in that respect, where he was out the side and was out the side to guys like Lewis Morrison. He knew he had Craig Moore as well, obviously, on the bench, and Ross Cogwell. Four decent strikers in that squad, you know what I mean? And that's obviously something that we've talked about plenty. I keep saying this, but it's things we're coming back to, because obviously it's the Scottish Cup and stuff. But the depth that Darrell will have, and even we're looking at that squad yesterday, they're probably rotated a bit. I would have expected, I didn't see the full start 11, but even when they do rotate, they've still got plenty of guys that are going to come in and do a great job. So yeah, but on your point about League One, League Two sides, Championship sides, probably going to be a little bit concerned, because I think even if they do draw a Darvel, it's a no-win situation for those kind of sides. I think if they win it, they're expected to win it because they're the kind of higher up the tiers. But if they lose, it's a banana skin and they've been beaten by the underdog. But a Darvel, as you say, will match probably most teams with the squad they have. Absolutely no doubt about that.
Just sort of on that note, obviously, when we're talking about the West, I don't know if you coined this phrase, but certainly you were the first person I heard say it. We've got two episodes named after your wee catchphrase, obviously, West is best. I've seen that absolutely everywhere this week.
Everywhere, right? Excellent. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was a bit of a pun dig at probably more so lower league sides, because obviously they were winning ties in Scottish Cup games and things like that, and South Challenge Cup matches and what have you. So yeah, it's one of those ones. It's just like it's a throwaway comment, but there's also a little bit of dig behind that. But it does seem to be getting a bit of traction, so we can chalk that up as one that. I don't quite have the copyright over, because I've took it from somewhere else, but certainly in a footballing and in a Western Scotland Football League perspective, I'll take the glory there for sure, Chris.
Yeah, well, I have seen it. You know, I think Darvel, and then I think even the West of Scotland account's been tweeting it now. They've got a whole graphic about it as well. So, yeah, I got to give you credit, Ben. I think you were the first to say it.
What I would say is it only works when more West teams beat other divisions. I think that's important. You can't just throw it around every week. It's not one of these things you can chuck about every week. It's got to be in certain situations where West comes out on top over the course. It can't just be because one West team beat an East team, or one West team beat a Lowland League team. It's got to be across the board. That's an important bit for me, is that you've got to make sure that it's covering off. I mean, talking about West teams, we probably class East Kilbride as a West team. They beat Cali Braves 5-0 yesterday in an all Lowland League tie. Now, can we just talk about that segue for a second? I thought that was pretty good, that link from West is best, East Kilbride. Chris, come on, that was decent.
Yeah, I actually heard that the Cali Braves were, although at the end of the day it's a disappointing result, they've been absolutely hammered, but I think they hit the bar three times or something like that. So it's one of those unlucky ones where it's not going to be your day, but like Neil McLaughlin against his former side, he is a fantastic player. I know I get a lot of stick sometimes for not really highlighting Neil as much as I should have. I think... I said it a few weeks ago, I probably regret not putting him in my team of the season last year, but I think it's tough, you know, when you've got your last season, he was in a East Kilbride team, it looks like Chris Erskine and all these sort of guys. So, but Neil's came up trumps there. East Kilbride is exactly what we were saying. They need to start firing, and by all accounts, we're up against a Cali Braves side that recently drew with them in the league. So it could have been a tricky game, but they went out and absolutely, you know, killed it. And yeah, good to see Dylan McDonald, you know, getting the man of the match. I've talked about Dylan as well. So yeah, I'm quite happy for East Kilbride. It's exactly what we said a few weeks ago. They need to start firing and taking their chances, and it's, I think the message has got to, came across from the manager with a result like that.
Next game then, Dunbar United 1, Stirling University 3. Probably a fairly straightforward win for Stirling Uni. We expect them to be able to beat a side like Dunbar, and they have done. Also, 2 red cards in the game for both sides, or 1 red card each of rather, but a good professional performance by sounds of it for Stirling Uni.
I actually really like Dunbar. I think they've got a decent side, obviously a couple of levels down from Stirling Uni, but the one thing I love about Dunbar is you go onto their website and it's really well maintained. It's got everything you could possibly want in terms of the players, in terms of their data box and that. So Dunbar, 9 times out of 10, always have their full squad in FM because I can see it. So that's one thing I will praise them for. But I'm sure we'll get into the Uni chat soon. Obviously, when
let's
we talk
just do
about
that.
Another...
Let's just do that just now, probably.
We'll do that. Yeah. Okay. But
what's been the drama? You just told me about this before we started. There's been a wee bit of drama about Uni sides and things like that, Chris.
Yeah. So I think Stirling Uni are a case in point, and there is a good few attitudes. I think we've talked about it previously, obviously, but the whole the idea that Uni team shouldn't be in the pyramid is just ridiculous to me, you know. Stirling Uni, for example, they've always produced players of a high standard. It's easy to forget they've actually been a really successful team. They've won the East of Scotland, they've been in the, you know, cup finals, and Chris Geddes obviously used to be one of the top scorers in almost every year he played when he was at Stirling Uni. So yeah, it's a wee bit disrespectful, but I think the complaints, obviously, that I've seen mostly, because obviously we always stick up for the Uni sides. It doesn't matter if it's Stirling, Perry at War, Glasgow, you know, Edinburgh. And yeah, I think the complaints is all where they don't really bring anything to the product in terms of fans. It's like my argument against that would be like a lot of clubs don't. A lot of clubs in the Lone League, I think it's well known that they don't have many fans. So why just pick out the Uni sides? I can actually see the point of view in a sense, because the first time I was involved at Kelly, I think one of my first games was Stirling Uni, and I probably had the same attitude, like, oh, it's just a Uni team. And I always give one player credit for kind of changing my opinion, and that was Blair Lyons, who obviously is still playing in the SPFL, fantastic footballer. But when I saw him play, I was like, oh my God, this guy's brilliant. And to me, It doesn't matter about fans. It's about the football. And, I mean, they've got a Stirling Uni, I think I've mentioned. Obviously, I like guys like Jason Jarvis. I think he's fantastic. And, you know, Conor Doan previously, now at Bonnyrigg, fantastic footballer. But, you know, Ben Heal, that's just came in, I think, 2 or 3 seasons ago, he was playing at West Ham for the youth team. So it's like, these guys are quality footballers. I know we often say that they've kind of made it Uni and stuff like that, but you know, some of them have been pro youths before, and I think the whole point of not having fans is a really weak point, considering other teams, not just in the Lone League, but East of Scotland, probably less on the West, unless you're going further down, but it's just weak to me. But I do see the point of view. But yeah, if you're a football fan, you've got to love Stirling Uni and Heriot Watt and Edinburgh Uni and Glasgow Uni. Just because of the young players that they've got.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chris. I think the great thing about these sides is that the players are arriving in due to circumstances of going to Uni. I think people maybe forget that sometimes, as if that's not how the reason they're there is because they're at Uni, at a specific Uni, rather, and they're obviously coming out the side because they're good football players and they're brought in to play. And as you say, what tends to happen is, excuse me, they do their 3 or 4 years at Uni, and then they probably move on to other sides. You mentioned Blair Lyons, he's a great player, playing straight now in the leagues, and you'll get more guys like that will go on and go and play, whether it's Lowland League or in the West or the East, or maybe move back into the SPFL. So it's good for the whole football ecosystem.
Yeah,
team like Stirling Uni, if they can make it work as a club financially without having fans, then whose problem is that? That's not anybody else's problem but theirs. And well, whether they've got fans or not, doesn't really matter. Yeah, of course, you'd love to maybe get a cup match and you've got a big crowd and things like that. That's obviously, I can see that from my perspective, being involved in that club, is that you want the cup ties, for example, so you get maybe the draws that are exciting and will have a decent crowd and a decent occasion. But yeah, you can't fault what job they're doing in these uni sides. And it's certainly still in uni. We've talked about Chris Geddes. Again, we'll go back to things we've talked about on this podcast plenty, but he's a great manager. He's bringing through players. He's running two sides pretty much full-time and as a manager and doing a great job. Still, you aren't disgracing themselves in the lower league anytime. Exactly. They're doing well. They're up the top and always maybe not quite a team that are going to win the lower league, certainly, but they're never going to be down at the bottom or struggling. They're always kind of and amongst it, they do all right in cup competitions as well. And I don't see the argument myself personally either. So it's one of those. But I guess it's that football purist, the kind of uber fan mentality, maybe that shines through when you get those kind of views.
Yeah, but again, people have to remember that the likes of Stirling, Glasgow, Edinburgh. I mean, these clubs have been in. Well, not so much the pyramid, but certainly playing at this level for years. I mean, someone pointed out that Glasgow Uni have been around for, you know, for more than 100 years or whatever it is, and they had guys playing for Scotland and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, a wee bit of history. I know that's a complaint against the likes of Broomhill and Cali Braves, but football purists. It's always laugh because the phrase, you know, a bunch of students, but then when Stirling Uni got a result against the team, it's like, oh, they're full time, blah blah blah. Like the story seems to change depending on the result. Aye. So
I mean, different narrative,
it's like I said it before, but you can't have it both ways. They're either a bunch of students or a full time team, I guess. But I suppose they could be both. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those ones where I always stick up for them because I think they're a good, like you said, for Scottish football. I think even the likes of Harriet Watt. Down in the east of Scotland, I mean, the majority of their seniors went to east to Scotland Premier teams, you know, and very high up, you know, guys playing at Pennycook and Musselburgh. Maury Taylor is obviously, I think he's playing in like the United Arab Emirates somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, these are good footballers and you just wish them well. I mean, I don't begrudge these young lads, you know, anything, you know, and I'm sadly not going to hold it against them because they played for a uni team. I think that's just silly.
From one uni team to another, then we'll go on to Glasgow Uni 1, Albion Rovers 4. This game went to extra time. It was one each at extra time, and Albion Rovers obviously in the extra time probably had the fitness and shown that the level, but were really stretched by Glasgow Uni. Absolutely fair play to Glasgow Uni, Mark Adam, the manager there, they've done a great job and just obviously just ran out of steam probably ultimately in the end, and Albion Rovers finally got the win.
Yeah, I looked at the stats of that game, hopefully, but I think we're correct, but yeah, it did seem like Albion were kind of all over them most of the game, but they've held on. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just a laugh what the Albion Rovers guy said about, you know, players have they not got homework today or something like that when it went to extra time. But I'm thinking if I'm that Albion Rovers media guy, I am not tweeting any of that because I'm embarrassed that I am totally embarrassed that my team, a League Two side, has been taken to extra time by a, you know, a West of Scotland second division side. I mean the jump's probably not that far away in terms of reality, especially. Guy like Mark Adams, a fantastic manager, knows his stuff, loves the Scottish Cup, by the way. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, why are you tweeting that? It's just disrespectful. Eh? And I think that's where
I think you're putting yourself at risk there, aren't you? I think, obviously, you know me, that's my job at Coen Rangers, and you have to be conscious about what you write, and certainly in those situations. And I think we've seen it with Wolves and Nottingham Forest one week or something. It was like to do with like lunge or play times over or something. It was like after the result, and I think that was funny. But like in general, I think you just need to be careful because it, I mean, as a media guy on the other side of it, if I had been the Glasgow Uni media guy and had seen that post and we'd won that match, I'd have been over it. You know, you've been, there'd have been homework gifts and all sorts getting flying about. You know, there'd been pictures on the bus doing with notepads and things like that, doing essays and things like just as a joke, man. But yeah, got to be careful. But go back to the result. Yeah, great result for Albion Rovers just to get through. But they were obviously rattled and were pushed to the max here by Glasgow Uni. And I think that'll stand Glasgow Uni in good stead for the season. They've got left. They're obviously still in the West. Still a couple of cup competitions as well to play in. I say domestically, like as if we're playing in Europe, but obviously the Scottish Cup is a bigger competition than any other teams are used to. So they'll do absolutely fine coming back to the West Scotland stuff in the next couple of weeks.
Albion Rovers are a bit of a weird one. There's been previous comments years ago about Brian Reid and not wanting to travel to certain places and all this sort of nonsense. Hopefully Glasgow wasn't too far from him. I think it was only a few miles down the road or whatever. I don't know what it is about Albion Rovers. They just probably better hope that they didn't ever get relegated because I don't think they would be too welcome with Brian Reid's comments in the past, you know. And to be fair, it wasn't Brian obviously tweeted that out, but yeah, I don't know. It just seems to be a certain attitude about Albion Rovers when it comes to non-league.
I remember Albion Rovers being all upset because we wouldn't, Corings wouldn't sell, what was it, Ross Stewart to them. They always bring that up every time, every now and again you hear about Ross Stewart and his dad having to pay £500 to get him like, move to Albion Rovers and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, they just didn't value the player and didn't want to spend the money because A, they probably didn't have it, or B, they didn't want to part with it. So, yeah, there's been a few occasions where you see Albion Rovers in the media and you're just thinking to yourself, shut up. That's the way I look at it. So, we won't dwell on that too much. Next game then, Dunipace 5, Turriff United 2. I guess this is probably one of these cup shocks, if you like, Chris, a Highland League team being beaten by an Easter Scotland team.
Not when you've got David Grant. Yeah, oh, what the a player himself. He is. What the a player. I think, is he officially top scorer in the Scottish Cup? I think
must
he might be.
Must be. That's what six in the first round.
Can I count him out? Dunipace, fantastic result, especially against a Highland League side. Again, we have to kind of be fair. Obviously, they're coming down to Dunipace. Probably, not good with the travel. Probably on the match day, I wouldn't assume they would have stayed over at Dunipace Friday night, but you never know. David Grant. I know sometimes he listens in, so I didn't want to give him too much of a big head, but I'm pretty sure someone's I saw somewhere that someone updated the Wikipedia and they've got him on about 100 odd goals or something in the Scottish Cup. But yeah, I do believe he is the top scorer so far this season, and I tell you what, another round and you never know, he might end up with the whole thing come the end of the season. But yeah, when you've got someone like David Grant in your team, proper goal scorer, it helps you in any game, doesn't it?
No, absolutely, and probably a result. I don't know an awful lot about Turriff myself, but Dunipace probably would have seen that as a tough draw to take before the match. But they've absolutely steamrolled Turriff there, and they'll be in the draw, and a team. Hopefully, they'll get a decent draw, and looking forward to the occasion. I'm just I've just noticed my Twitter, Chris, and got some live tweeting news here from on the Uni Teams debate.
Oh God!
Friend of the podcast, Mick Kennedy, Darvel manager, has said that he's been quite slightly vocal about the structure of the Lowland League. Mick's one of those people that's very popular and talks about that quite a lot. But he's got no issues with Uni Teams. They're on merit, professional run clubs with great facilities. It's not as if they paid £40k to join the league. So there we go.
I think there is a thing where I saw it yesterday where I think people are trying to tie in the Uni Teams with the B Teams, and it's not even the same thing. It's totally not the same thing. The B Teams have only existed a few years, and they're already part of a wider club, obviously Rangers, Celtic, Hearts. It's not the same. Just because they both play young players of a certain age or whatever does not make it the same thing. Stirling Uni, as I say, have got a proud history in the East of Scotland, the Lone League. Heriot Watt as well, King's Cup. Edinburgh Uni, similar thing. Obviously, Dougie Samuel used to be their manager before. Obviously, the Spartans manager before, all this sort of stuff. And then Glasgow Uni as well, we've kind of touched on them. We're one of the oldest clubs or whatever, and in terms of that. So it's like, a wee bit of respect. I keep saying it. Like, I don't know why people are... They have this weird view about... I guess what you said earlier, it's a bit of a purist attitude for whatever reason. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, it really doesn't.
I think that's the first time Mick and I have agreed on something, so I had to that one, just as I saw my phone at home to pop up as I was sitting here. But going back to the Scottish Cup action then, it was Elgin City 4, Camelin 0. A routine win, I guess, for Elgin, being a League 2 side.
Yeah, tough one on Camelin. Camelin, I think they're in a better... Obviously, they got relegated from the East to the Scotland Premier. I think they're in a better position now, but yeah, still a tough ask going to a decent Elgin side.
Next one then, got another cup shock in terms of the tiers, but Fraserburgh 2, Stranraer 1. Decent result for Fraserburgh, but a good side. Absolutely honking trip for Stranraer to travel all the way up to Fraserburgh, regardless if they went the night before or they went in the morning, but disappointing result for Stranraer, but fair play to Fraserburgh.
When I watched them, I don't know, I'm not sure how much their team has changed, obviously. I think Brechin City are kind of one of the teams that I look at in the Highland League and think they're really great. But yes, Fraserburgh, if they're anything like the team they were against sort of Bonnyrigg, I didn't see too much in those games, but you can tell, obviously, with the results and that, they are a good side. I've just personally not seen too much of them, but fantastic result in the Scottish Cup. Can't take it away from them.
Next game then is Gretna 2008-1, Drumchapel United 4. I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect this as much as I've been very, very critical about Gretna over the course of the season. I thought they'd have had enough to see past Drumchapel United, but it's a great result for Drumchapel, 2-0 up at half time, and they came back out second half and doubled the lead and got themselves into the next round of the hat. Obviously, a team that came through the Strathclyde Demolition Cup and then played in the, was it the Scottish Cup Plate, whatever they call it, Scottish Cup
Shield, yeah.
Whatever it is, the kind of the different tournaments, and they'll be looking forward to that. Obviously, I don't know how it works in terms of if they get, what kind of draw they get, if they get a home draw. I don't imagine that the Donald Jure ground that the Drumchapel play at will be one for a home tie. I'd imagine they'll probably need to move, especially if they get one of the bigger sides, but Gretna are going to be disappointed about losing that one, Chris.
Yeah, just a wee note on the Donald Jure. I always kind of see that as more like a sort of sports centre, isn't it?
I mean, that is.
In terms of result, I mean, I'm probably a little less surprised. I've always kind of rated Drumchapel. I don't think the league results have been always the best in terms of the team they have, but look, Martin Green, Patrick, we know how good Paolo is when he's on his day, and certainly he was interested know a fair bit about Gretna before the tie. So it's a tough one, because I believe, I've not seen the highlights yet, there was some sort of controversy around Drumchapel's third goal where really bad referee decision. I think Gretna tweeted out something about it's ruined the game, this refereeing or whatever. I don't know. Obviously, I have seen, I think Ali Adams tweeted something about the standard as well. I don't know what's happened there. I can't really comment on but yeah, they've been aggrieved with Drumchapel's third, or certainly Martin Green's third. Certainly feel like they sort of lost the tie on that. But look, Drumchapel are a good team. I think Gretna, I hope they don't overreact. Obviously, it's disappointing that they're out of the Scottish Cup. Again, a lot of these teams, or certainly a few teams, rely on that Scottish Cup run to see them through. And then Gretna have a massive squad of boys, probably bigger than most Lowland League sides, other than the B teams probably. But I just hope they don't overreact and just sort of scrap it from that game, because... It's a difficult defeat, but Drumchapel are a good side. I didn't see too much in terms of worry, really. But obviously, I've not seen the game, so it's hard to really see if there has been proper faults at that. But I think they'll bounce back. Yeah, we've talked about them. They picked themselves up. It's a tough loss, but look, we're talking about a few tiers down and whatever, and thinking this is a horrific result. It's not always the case, as we know with some teams, i.e. Darvel.
Next one then we're going to is Linlithgow Rose 4, the Spartans 0. I mean, that's a brilliant result for Rose. We know what they're capable of. I think I've fucking repeated myself so many times here, but we talk about Rose most weeks and we know that a good side, and we expect them to get promoted, or not promoted, certainly into the playoff, and win that East of Scotland Premier Division. I didn't think they would put four past Spartans, if I'm being totally honest. I thought it'd been a much, much tighter game.
That's a tough one. I often, and have done since the start of the season, I kind of put Darvel and Linlithgow like that, because I actually think they're the two top teams, West and East. And I would honestly love to see them both in the Lone League next season, but obviously we still only have that one spot.
Not a drama there, Chris.
Well, I know, but come on, it's getting to a point where, obviously, we didn't want to have any negativity again, but it's getting to the point where Linlithgow are clearly probably better than a lot of the Lone League sides. Darvel are clearly better than a lot of the Lone League sides. So, with all due respect to the teams sort of towards the bottom, but when you've got Darvel that are smashing Dalbeattie 7-1, you've got Linlithgow smashing a really good Spartan side. Looks, to be fair, I'm not equating Dalbeattie with Spartans, but look, Mark Stowe, I've kind of pointed at Alan McKenzie, but Mark Stowe is the key man for Linlithgow Rose. He's fantastic. He's only, I think, 22 or something like that. But that whole line, that whole team in Linlithgow Rose, I've praised them too. I probably praised Linlithgow way too much. It's a bit like Darvel, but yeah, I mean, how quality would... I honestly would love to see them both go up. I know it's not going to happen, but I would certainly be at the playoff game if it is. And I think probably 95% it's probably going to be Darvel versus Linlithgow Rose come the end of the season. With all due respect to the South of Scotland team, we're unsure of who it's going to be. But yeah, it's a difficult one for Spartans. Don't really know what to make of it. Spartans have a good team, but I think we've not really praised them that much. I praised them a wee bit in the last podcast, but they're not really doing much, are they? They're not. I mean, they've kind of been quietly going about their business in the league, but they're not. There's nothing I've seen from them that I'm utterly convinced they'll do much this season. You know what I mean? Whereas, obviously, there's certain teams like Darvel and Linlithgow Rose that you think, oh my God, they're on some form and they're going to be doing their business the whole season.
We'll go to the next game. Right, next game then, Newton Green Star, now Hillabeath 1. Hillabeath doing well in the Scottish Cup, Chris.
Yeah, it's a good result. Rossellum getting the goal there. I think Hillabeath ended it with 10 men. Newton Grange, I've got a massive respect for them. Probably one of my favourite stadiums. I did see their deal at, you know, pinting whatever else for a tenner ticket and whatever. Great, great hospitality at New Victoria Park. It's a straightforward win, really. Newton Grange, no longer a Premier team. They were relegated last season, unfortunately. Lost a lot of decent players. Still have a good team for the First Division. But, yeah, it's a really good win for Hillabeath, because Hillabeath we've not really had much praise for them this season so far. They've not really done too much in the league. I often said that I thought they would be a better team this season. Certainly have the players to do that, but... not much to say other than a really good cup result.
Next game then, it was Brechin 2, Stirling Albion 2, and that game was decided on penalties, and Stirling Albion 1 on penalties. A close and affair for a team at the top of League 2, just now, Chris.
Stirling Albion, for me it's between them and Dumbarton for League 2. It's good to see them get through the cup. You do wonder how sometimes if the cup kind of distracts away from the league, but certainly League 2, I've said it since pretty much the start of the season, and not that we've really discussed too much League 2 on this podcast, but it was always between Dumbarton and Stirling Albion for me, League 2, and it's no surprise they've got through that one, but another good cup result, albeit on penalties.
Yeah, I think you can look to this one as the potential kind of banana skin, if you like, because Brechin, obviously a former league side and still doing pretty well in the Highland League, but still got through in the end, and they'll just be delighted because it's probably another one of those situations where it's like a no-win situation for the league side, certainly, and they'll just be glad to be in the next round of the hat and see what draw brings them.
Historically, we've given Brechin a lot of grief, obviously, when they were getting relegated from League Two, obviously wanting to be in the Lone League. But as far as I'm aware, they've changed up, you know, a lot of things behind the scenes. They do have a really good team this season. Yeah, I wish them well. I know we've probably not been their biggest fans over the piece, but I think it's just a completely changed setup, a completely new direction, and their squad. I think it's going to be tough if they do win the Highland League. We're not 100% sure what's going to be happening if a B team wins the Lone League, but certainly.
What are you insinuating, Chris? What are you insinuating?
But certainly, it looks like Brechin will probably be up there in terms of the playoff. A lot more to discuss when we know more, I guess, of what's happening on our end if Rangers do win the league.
We'll see. That. I'll save that for a future episode, I think. Moving on then, Wick Academy 2, Ben Burb 0. I mean, for Ben Burb, it's a horrible draw. I haven't they travel up to Wick. They did travel the night before. I did notice on social media they were up on the bus the night before and stayed over and things like that. So they gave themselves obviously the best chance to get through, because obviously you look at that and go, that's a winnable game for Ben Burb. And if you can get through the next round, obviously how important that would be for a team like Ben Burb. But Wick, good result for them. They'll be happy. But I mean, everyone else in the draw won't be happy, because you might get that draw away to Wick Academy. And let's face it, no disrespect to Wick, they're a great cup side, they've been involved in the cup for years, but nobody fucking wants to go to Wick. Even I don't want, I mean, I love a weekend away, but if it'd been us, I'd have been like that. I'd have to debate whether I was actually going or not, but good result. They'll be looking forward to the draw as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. Not really too much to say on the game, but I think you're 100% right in terms of travelling. No one really wants to see Wick, not even for football reasons, just for the fact of the travel. It's just way too much.
So 4 hours from Inverness or something like that, apparently.
It's crazy.
It's a joke. It's like so far up the road. Right, next one then, Stenhouse Muir 2, East Fife 1, an all League 2 draw. A good result for Stenhouse Muir. It could have been anything that game, really. And Stenhouse Muir kind of going about their business, kind of up and down, I think, just now in League Two. I'd have to keep an eye on what they're up to for various reasons. And they've won a few, drawn one, lost one, won again, and then obviously won on Saturday. So they're doing okay in League Two. But again, it's just a case of getting through, isn't it, when you're playing a team in your own division?
Yeah, it's not really much of a glamour fixture if you play a team in your own league, but it's a decent win for Stenny. East Fife. League Two is a bit weird because sometimes I just don't know what to make of the teams. With all due respect, because it's just like they're, I don't know. Sometimes I look at their squads and think that there's maybe a couple of standouts, but other than that, it's just like kind of so-so. Where you get teams, obviously like Darvel, we could keep talking about Darvel, but like almost every player's a standout. Almost every player's a standout. East Kilbride, for example, probably less so with Linlithgow, in fairness, because obviously there's a lot of sort of top East of Scotland players that have not played higher up. But there's just some League Two sides that I just look at and think it's a bit so-so, really. Don't think they're going to be up to much, because I think obviously Dumbarton and Stirling Albion are going to be winning the leagues, but it's fantastic obviously for Stenny to get through to the next round, and hopefully the bigger ties will help. I have a lot of respect for Swifty, and obviously I like Will Seale as well, so but yeah, not much to really say on either side, really.
Nah, I think it's one of those, it's get the job done, get on the next round, isn't it, really, for either team, whoever was to actually get the victory in the end.
So we're at that part of the podcast where it's usually time for you to talk about your game that you were at, obviously, where you're winning Rangers. Are you up for chatting about it since she's lost?
I mean, I absolutely. It was unfortunate, obviously, for those who don't know, it was Corn Rangers 1, four for Athletic, three. Obviously, for us as a club, it was a big occasion, getting drawn against a League Two side, and a lot of build-up and a lot of kind of excitement around the club and stuff to play a team. And in a game, I think we looked at and said it was probably a winnable tie for us against a team, a struggling 4-4 team, as we've seen it. But one of those ones, it's just on the day, we are just beating individual situations, really, I think, for us. I think the first 20 minutes of the game, we've been the better team. We've dominated possession. We've had a few chances. There's been an issue with, you've probably seen in social media already, that wear nets, which has been a bit of a ongoing saga at Buffs Park, where the nets have not quite been up to standard, and they required fixing, I think, about 20 minutes into the game. And as I say, we're on the front foot and we're dominating the match. And that just gave, I think, for me, for a bit of time to regroup and have a conversation outside the park and kind of realise mistakes and get the message across from the coaching side. And minutes later, Thomas Burnley scores an absolute peach of a goal. He's ran from about the halfway line and skipped by a couple of players and roofed it in the top of the net. And from that, you can't give away cheap goals as far as we're concerned. We then score an OG to make it. We get a bit of luck, to be fair, from a disallowed goal, because their forward was behind our goalie and he's jumped over the ball and not touched the ball. I'm not sure he's touched it, but he certainly jumped over the ball as it's went into the net and he's offside. But the referee's literally pointed to the centre circle and we're already to kick off, and Gorms has had a conversation with the linesman, and the linesman's then called the referee over and said, no, wait a minute, I think this is actually offside, and he's disallowed to go after having a discussion. So we got a bit of luck from there, and for me that was like, well, we need to go on now and try and get the equaliser, because I've had a bit of luck in the game, because I've been dead and buried at that 2-0, and a few minutes later we just score an absolute stupid own goal as far as we're concerned. It's a poor back pass, and the goalie's not been able to do much better himself, and it's just unfortunate. And you just can't give teams like Forfar these opportunities, because I think the thing for me, the difference was that they had those individual players, and when it needed a bit of class, they were there and they done the job and got the win. But I think for us as a team, we matched them for 90 minutes. I didn't see anything from Forfar for that. I was like scared about it. And another day, if we maybe converted a few of the chances we did have, we'd have easily put three or four past them and won the game. I think I read the Forfar manager Gary Irvine's comments in the paper this morning, and he was very complimentary of our side, and we can go out there with our heads held high on the park. Firstly, I think the boys done exactly what they could do, and it's unfortunate from that perspective. But I mean, our season won't be defined by what happens in the Scottish Cup. I think that's quite important. That I was kind of saying to a few people yesterday, I mean, it's sort of take on the day, but ultimately we'll bounce back and we'll come. I hate using cliches, but I say this on Twitter, but we'll go again and it'll stand us in good stead from a team perspective. I think off the park we put on a great occasion for the fans, for the committee, for very complimentary about what we've done as a club, and we can be proud of that. I think that's important. I mentioned in there, that's a slight issue that we know about and we can rectify. But in general, it was a great day. We had, I think, 680 in as an attendance, which is a big attendance for us on a Saturday when Kilmarnock and Rangers are both playing at home at 3 o'clock, which is something that predominantly will affect our gates is those games. But it was a great day. There's a lot of media there that I took to do with, just was totally different for me, and I enjoyed that, being able to do that kind of side of things. And we used fan bases to pre-sell tickets rather, and I think sold about 140 before the game even the gates opened. So it was great. I mean, absolutely, and we'll absolutely come back in the Scottish Cup next year.
Talking about I was kind of bemoaning average sort of looking sides in League Two, but Forfar should be doing better in the league. They're actually a better side than the league suggests. I probably would have had them up there. I don't know what's happened with them so far this season for them to see it off. But yeah, I mean, it's I guess we're having our cake and eating it too, because we'll say something like, "Oh, it's, you know, it's no shock for teams to beat a few teams higher up." But I think it depends on the team, mate. Because like obviously, we know how good Linlithgow Rose are. We know how good Darvel are. Sometimes it is an actual shock, but it is totally dependent on the team when we're looking and saying, it's not much of a shock, even though they're, you know, a few levels down. I think with Forfar, it's a wee bit different. I think obviously the Buffs are a quality side, but yeah, Forfar should be doing a wee bit better with the squad that they've got. I do have to apologise to David Gormley. I made a comment about, was it Aidan McLaughlin, obviously being an under-20s player, and he seemed to take umbrage. I don't think it was umbrage at me, I think it was umbrage at Thomas Collins, but I don't remember him playing a lot of first-team games, but nothing to do with what happened last season at Broomhill. It was just basically a comment to say, you know, this is an under-20 player doing really well in a team that I wasn't really expecting, because you kind of expect the likes of Strollers and Spartans and East Kilbride and... in fairness, even still on uni, but Broomhill have never really had that sort of pathway, I would say, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why it is Broomhill now, because obviously you had your BSC Glasgow and Broomhill, and that was kind of my point. Well, part of my point is there was never really a pathway, and I think that's why if I remember correctly, that's why the actual team split. Nothing against David Gormley last season. I don't know what's went on there. But yeah, I certainly don't remember Aidan being a major first-team player, is all I'll say on that one. But yeah, if I offended anyone, I'm sorry.
I think, did Aidan, just going back to that point there, didn't he start the kind of season, this season, with the under-20s and kind of stepped up into the home goal room Hill team? I thought that was more that situation. I think people are referring to the fact he maybe was in the 20s side to begin with, and maybe stepped up very early on in the season, certainly, but I don't think it wasn't a starter, for example, at the beginning of the season, was he?
Yeah, but that was my thing, though, because he's became a starter. It wasn't really the fact, oh, it's just an under-20s player coming up to the first team. He's now, like, integral, you know, a first-team player, as far as I'm aware, so it's like, yeah, it wasn't just, oh, here's an under-20s player coming up to the first team and maybe getting a few games here and there. It was actually like, this guy's actually became like one of their key midfielders, along with obviously Gary Fraser and Matty McDonald. So it wasn't just to make a point like, oh, here's an under-20s player doing well. It was like, this is a guy that's actually becoming like proper vital to the team in that midfield. And so there's probably a big difference, you know, from just, oh, here's an under-20s player doing well.
I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure he Yeah, I don't think Grom's will worry too much about that. He's thick-skinned enough to worry about.
So many touchy people on Twitter, you never know. To be fair, you can't tell tone through Twitter, I guess.
That's it. But going back to the Buffs game briefly, yeah, as I said, it's one of those ones that I'm looking forward now to the rest of the season, because I think we've got a good squad, more than capable of handling ourselves against pretty much most teams in the West, whether that's or in the Lowland League when it comes to South Challenge Cup, etc. Then looking forward to, for example, we've got Bells Hill next weekend, and I think if we beat Bells Hill, we'll play Athlone, and then it's Musselbatt in the South Challenge Cup. So a few cup games coming up for us, and we can maybe kind of balance the squad and maybe give some young guys some game time and things to see how we go. But I think we'll be good. And as a club, we'll just kick on from here, and we'll come back in the draw next year. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm absolutely gutted not to be in the draw next tomorrow at 4 p.m. and not today at 4 p.m. as I think Mozza tweeted out earlier on. We caught your tweet there, Mozza. If you're listening, you were a day early for the Scottish Cup draw. But that's pretty much it from the games in the Scottish Cup. One more game just to cover off is Pollock, and it's on BBC Scotland tomorrow night. What do you think of the result, or what do you think? How do you think that game will go, Chris?
Tough. I have a lot of love for Annan. Tommy Goss, I think if Pollock can keep him quiet, then they might have a chance. But that Annan side are really good. But yeah, I think my NDA is up now. But I remember someone had changed Tommy Goss's shooting to like something stupid, like 8 or something. And I was like, mate, he's the best strikers in League 2.
Like 18.
I went higher, obviously. But they had seen him recently, that wasn't he too impressed or something like that. And I was thinking to myself, look at his stats, his goal scoring. It's not going to be staying at 8, mate. I'm not going to get crucified by the Annan Athletic fans for putting it lower, eh? But no, Tommy Goss is fantastic. They've got a really good team. Lewis Hunter as well. Know him, obviously, former Stirling Uni. We've talked up players that have Benjamin Lisson, who used to be a Grenner, really sort of energetic midfielder, can likes to get forward. So I think Pollock have a chance. I think Pollock are a good side, but stop Tommy Goss would be my game plan, I guess. I don't know how you would do it. At his knees or whatever, but guys, stop him.
I think it'll be tough for Pollock, I'll be honest. I think the thing now, Pollock seem to be up and down, struggling at points and doing well at others. I think there's a lot of kind of discontent among the fans and around maybe the management. They're not really too keen on Muddy McKinnon, his manager at the moment. It seems like there's a lot of seen a lot of different stuff or hearing about a lot of different stuff, certainly from football forums and such and what have you, that are not too pleased with the management team there. So
actually news to me.
I mean, apparently news to me. The word in the street is, if you go to the Pollock forum, there's a convincing poll that wants Murdy out. By all accounts, I haven't been on the forum, I'm not a member of the Pollock fans forum certainly, but I heard that last week, I think it was.
Interesting.
Through the grapevine, but apparently not too happy of the management there. And I think
just based on results in the league, or
I'm not too sure. I mean, he's probably been around the club for a few years, and Pollock are a team that probably look for success, like we've talked about earlier. And well, I mean, they haven't won anything in God knows how long. Do you know what I mean? And if that's the kind of mentality of the fan base, and it's possibly that we're just kind of middle of the road West Scotland team at the moment.
It's actually funny you said that about Pollock not winning anything, because I was doing a few achievements. In fact, no hard feelings, Gorms. I've done your junior achievements for Auchinleck, actually. I did add them, actually, because I knew he was missing them. But no, there was some, was it Dale Westbourne or something? I can't remember. Wharton, actually, I think. One of the players, anyway, had an achievement. I think he had won the Junior Cup with Shots Bon Accord or something like that. But I checked for sort of achievements for Pollock, and then I realised Pollock hadn't won anything ages, exactly what you were saying. I was actually a wee bit taken aback by that, because I'm always, in my mind, Pollock are always up there with the likes of Auchin, like Talbot, in terms of successful teams. But difficult one, obviously. If your team's not winning in a wee while, and you do clash yourself as a successful side.
Yeah, if you're like a big team, and it'll be interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously Murdy's still in charge, but if the fan base are not wanting them at the helm, then how long do you last? I mean, if it isn't going well for them, do they need to make a change there to maybe to kick on? Is Murdy the guy to take them on? I'm not personally sure from what I've seen of Pollock in the last couple of years. And I think he recently got a 4-year deal by all accounts in the summer, which I found a bit strange when he got that deal. And there could have been plenty of managers that would have been better suited for that job that could maybe kick Pollock on a touch. But I don't know what will happen. It'll be one to keep an eye on for sure. But there does seem like a bit of discontent. As for the game, obviously coming up on Monday night, looking forward to watching it. I really do enjoy watching these games in BBC Scotland and seeing this level represented. What I would say is that people that are commentating, by and large, don't have a lot of knowledge of this level of football. I think it's stuff that, like, me and you have been saying for weeks and weeks, and things we've been highlighting for weeks and weeks, and I just feel like some of the takes are a bit strange, and they're still referring to it as juniors and all this kind of crap, and I'm just like, I'm getting the times, come on, do a bit more research and realise really what this level's all about. It's a proper, serious level of football.
Yeah, I listened into, kind of on that note, albeit not BBC, I listened into Craig Telfer's episode with Ken Beef, the episode around Ken Beef. And you can tell Craig actually does a bit of research. I don't think his knowledge is completely there, but he does his research at the very minimum. And I kind of respect him for that. I mean, I've not always had the greatest things to say about A View from the Terrace, but I respect to Craig. And obviously, he's kind of built it up as well. So, but yeah, there's sometimes I think people, it seems like they get fed opinions via the BBC. They've got something that we don't have. I mean, I've seen it obviously in the women's football, but they, you know, they've got instant replays, they've got all the facts kind of thing to kind of back up. We don't often have the luxury when we're on a podcast to see this before we do it. So yeah, it is disappointing a few times hearing this sort of nonsense. And there is some sort of questionable takes, as you say, Ben, especially on the BBC.
I don't personally think it's a thing about just generally the BBC. I think it's more a mainstream media view. I mentioned briefly there about my day yesterday and being involved and had a lot more mainstream media at the game, and just felt there was a wee bit of kind of maybe like a whiff of arrogance from some coming into the lower levels of Scottish football. And I just got, you're only coming here because Forfar are playing in a League Two side, and there wasn't really a normal kind of normal press. The normal press guys were there at our game and things like that, but I just feel that maybe that's what it is. It's more of a kind of looking down a wee bit on the level and on the grade of football. And it just feels a bit, I don't know if I'm becoming across maybe a bit bitter about or overly protective of this level because I'm passionate about it, but it just feels sometimes you just feel like you're not doing enough research, not doing enough to know about the teams and who's involved and things like that. And that's the thing that I'll be paying close attention to, I think, on Monday night, because I think I did the same on Friday. I think Lauren was probably sick of me making comments when someone made a bad take on the commentary or in the kind of studio environment, looking at half-time and what have you. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on what the chat is, and certainly we'll see what happens across the board.
I think you're just trying to rile me up, Ben, because you know my sort of opinion on these sort of... I do find a lot of this stuff kind of condescending. I've said so previously.
That's kind of the word, condescending.
It's like a wee kind of pat on the head. Aye, look at this wee team, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't like that. And a lot of people think, oh, it's great. Oh, they're giving, you know, these teams like a proper highlight and showing what they do and stuff like that. I mean, what does that amount to? Maybe 2 minutes, 2 minute, 3 minute clip. I mean, there's no substance to it, you know what I mean? We're not talking about it in depth of I'd love it. I mean, that's why, as much as people don't like or some people don't like Broomhill, they're actually at least going an hour and a half, you know, in these documentaries showing you an actual what is involved, and I actually appreciate that. I better not talk up Broomhill too much because people think I'm a fucking fan or something, but
on the payroll,
exactly. But at least there's substance to that rather than these sort of 2 minute clips. Or I'm probably coming to a point where I'm similar to yourself, Ben, where I probably am getting a wee bit better about it, because it's like you're getting all that, giving this love for someone that gives you 2 minutes of their time. It's like, fuck off, man, we do it every week.
That's it. I mean, that's it. And I think that's the thing that you can have seen. And obviously, I'm not going to name individuals who were involved. And everyone knows who was on the BBC panel on Friday, and I'm sure there'll be someone different on Monday night. But that's it. I think it's that we're obviously involved and immersed in this level of football. We know what's going on, and we see our opinions is as good as it. Like, I think my opinion on this level, maybe it sounds quite big-headed, but it stands up there against any of these professional players that are plying their trade as commentators or journalists or pundits or whatever you want to call it, because we know what's going on at this level of football. I'm not going to comment too much on what happens in the SPFL Prem or the Champ or things like that, but when it comes to this level, we know what we're talking about.
You know what's been shocking to me? I think over all the years I've been doing the catch-up, this is probably one where I think a lot of our takes are pretty much been spot on, which is scary to me. It's like, I mean, it's not just you, Ben, it's me as well. And it's just like, wow, I'm actually right. Like, and it just shows that we do, you know, when you've got a bit of a knowledge about the level and you can put out there, I have a, oh, we're obviously wrong about some things sometimes, but it has been a wee bit scary this season how right, especially your take on the B teams. Obviously, that's starting to look like it might happen. But we went on a wee bit of a side track. We've not done a wee sort of segue in a while.
We've opened some old wounds. I think you've mentioned Barney McGlose the first time in a while. I've went in on some media people, which I like to do now and again. We've made friends with Mick Kennedy for a change, which is rare.
Me and Mick have always got on, so that's fine.
But, wonders does cease. Just quickly then, before we wrap up, there's two games in the Lowland League. We can't forget the two games in the Lowland League. Talking about great takes. Rangers B, they were facing Berwick Rangers at More Room Stadium, moreroom.com Stadium. I don't know what that is. Is that Dumbarton? Is that...
Yeah, if it's still... It's sponsored or whatever.
Yeah, so Rangers B won 3-0 against Bet Rangers, a routine win for Rangers B. As far as I'm concerned, they're going to win the league and everyone will fall behind. As far as I'm concerned, so that was pretty straightforward.
I did hear it was probably one of Berwick's better performances in the last wee while. Which is good to hear. Obviously, it's looking likely that Rangers B are going to be the front runner. There was a wee bit of chat brought up by something completely unrelated by me on Twitter. And obviously, then we get the old comments coming out about how it's embarrassing. And I actually agree. If a temporary team, i.e. Rangers B or Celtic B, Hearts B, win your league when they're not actually full members, it does seem a bit embarrassing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're 1 hour and 20 minutes into this episode. Let's not get too deep into the...
No. That's a future conversation.
That's a future conversation.
But we've already had about years ago.
But, yeah, I've made a couple of comments, I think, in our group chat to that effect. And it'll be one of these ones where I think it'll be a watch this space if Rangers B do get the win. But moving on, the final game, and just talk about it quickly then, is Galfredin Rovers 3, Hartlepool Midlothian B 3. Goals, plenty of goals in this game, Chris. Don't know awful lot about it personally, but I mean, the more I see Hartlepool Midlothian, Hearts B, I'm like, I'd start to wonder what's the point. I don't think it's got the same effect as the Rangers and Celtic B, and I just kind of don't see why Hearts B are really involved.
They're both treading water, aren't they? Including Galfredin, they're not having a great season. Hearts, I think they're probably around the same position in the league, actually. Yeah, just two kind of below mid-table teams at the moment. Not much to say. Nothing too exciting, apart from the game, obviously, with six goals, but nothing. I've got nothing.
All talked out. It's been a bumper episode, as always. We were off last week, but we come back with a full card there of the Scottish Cup plus the Lone League. There was plenty of games, I think, on in the West and East of Scotland too, but we have been on this episode for quite some time, so you're probably sick and fed up listening to it. So we'll just wrap up there. Where can we find us, Chris, if we're looking to get in touch?
At Official Catch Up on Twitter, Lone League Catch Up on Facebook, and pretty much Official Catch Up. Just before we end, we'll not cover the game, but obviously Pennycook beat Tranent in one of the East of Scotland games. The reason I mention it is because Andy Forbes, Andy Goals, had a wee shot between the sticks after apparently he got Robert Watt sent off for poor defending or whatever it is, Pennycook got the win over Tranent, which a fantastic win in the East of Scotland qualifying cup, I think. And just to give a wee mention to Andy, though, I know there'll be a few Pennycook fans waiting for that wee mention also. So yeah, we'll get in there before we end.
Opened up a can of worms there, Chris. You mentioned Trinity. I know it's on Twitter. I don't think I was going to bring this one up on Twitter. I don't know where it was going to fit in, but you just brought up Trinity, so I'm going to go there. I'd seen a couple of comments yesterday on Twitter about the behaviour of Buffs fans were turning management team when they played us a few weeks back in the Scottish Cup and their fans and hurling abuse. They referred to Buffs fans and tracksuits hurling abuse at the fans and the manager. This was on Twitter yesterday, last night and tonight, this morning, rather. But I just want to clarify that, the whole thing. I know that the exact situation they're referring to, it's the one between myself and Stephen Hislop, the assistant manager, where we're having good-natured banter at the side of the park, where Hissy made a comment about being 2-0 up, and we gave a bit back, and then obviously we were throwing two each, and eventually we came back and won 4-2. But there was comments about hurling abuse and all this kind of stuff, and I just want to clarify that that wasn't the case. Me and Hissy had a conversation after the game and walked away, shook hands, and cheered a pint. You know, it was like, it was all good natured banter inside football. We knew what it was, and there was no malice. There was no abuse. It was absolutely over the top reaction on Twitter based on, I think, someone commenting about having a great day yesterday, being a bus park and having some great hospitality. I think it was Bobby and Wansey was down doing some bits, and they replied to one of his tweets, and it was like, they're just so wide of the mark comments. I don't know if these people will be listening, but when you mentioned it, I wanted to bring it up there, because
you mentioned on the podcast what happened though, and it seemed kind of good natured, and
it absolutely was. It was exactly that. There was a bit of a laugh about Hissy being outside the box, outside the technical area, and he'd reply back about it not being a box, it was a rectangle or some pish like that. It was a poor joke that we went back at, and then his comment was about being up 2-0 and basically being cruising, he could do what he wanted, which was at the time a fair comment, but I mean, it's one of those situations where we knew that there was receipts there if we did get back into the game and win the match, which we did, obviously, and it was great, and it was just banter. It's what happens at football. I mean, it wasn't malicious, it wasn't aggressive, it wasn't abuse, it was just a bit of a laugh and a joke, and as I say, we shook hands and had a laugh about it in the bar afterwards. It wasn't, so I just found that comment to be a bit wide, and I hate things like that where people embellish
something,
making it, because that's not me. I'm not someone who's going to give abuse or be mild, especially not when I'm working for my club, you know what I mean? That's not what it is. And every team that comes to Buffs Park or go away, it's a two-way thing between fans and the away dugout, and equally when our team goes to our teams, they get stick from away from the home fans. It's just part of football. I mean, it's a part of football. It's not anything. But I just, when you mentioned tonight, then I thought I might as well get the last word on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I often feel there is a wee bit of an attitude, more so with the fans of former East Juniors and former West Juniors, where they do think, you know, they're a wee bit, I guess, I don't know if it's just because there's probably more of them in terms of when you're coming up against the community clubs, but I think there was something that went on with Gretna as well, when Gretna beat them, and there was comments made like, oh, Gretna were the worst team they've played, yet they obviously beat Trinent too. So I've definitely seen an attitude where I've been involved with former East Junior teams as well, so I definitely know there is an attitude, you know, thinking that you probably are a wee bit of cut above, but it's just banter. I don't know, I've not seen that myself, Ben, so I don't know what that's about, but as far as I'm aware, you called it out on the podcast when it happened, and it seemed all fun and games.
No malice, but anyway, we'll wrap up there. As I said, you get me on Twitter at Mr. Ben Grant. Remember, if you're on YouTube, do the old like and subscribe thing, because that's what the cool kids do. Got to get the old like and subscribes in, ring that notification bell, you know, all the good part. But thanks for watching or listening, and we'll catch up with you soon. Cheers.